Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
I am your Thursday host, Tom Moulton, with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And boy, we have a full schedule. Good morning, Tim Vimmerstedt.
Good morning, Thomas. How are you? And good morning, Matthew.
Hello.
We are here doing our duty and got lots and lots of festivals to talk about this morning before we get into our first guest, because there's a really special announcement that took place last week. Someone took a organization from Oro Valley to Southern Arizona and now to the entire state of Arizona. And they did their due diligence, and it was exciting news. And we'll be talking to Dallas, the marketing director, in about 15 or so minutes. But first, Timmy, you have your favorite events that you want to talk about. And guess what? You don't have to sweat too much outside these days.
No. It's cooling off nicely.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
So the Arizona Theater Company is putting on their production of Deceived. It's already begun, started on September 28th, but it's running through October 18th at the Temple of Music and Art. And tonight is the 33rd annual opening night of Nightfall. I know, fear is fun. The theme is clowns are on the loose now through October 31st. Yeah. You guys both know how I love clowns.
Oh, yeah. You know, Tim.
Yes.
Tim, you know, we learned that when you arrive at Nightfall, you have to go through the clown maze before you get in the park.
I've heard that, yes.
Unless you're 6 years old.
Which I kind of act like that sometimes. So
when it comes to clowns.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dabney will be here on live. And think we decided that he was going to come not on October 9th, but October 16th, if that's a Thursday. I'm not sure, Matt. You can check your calendar real quick. But
16th is a Thursday, yes,
okay,
sir.
He'll be here to talk about how he's been scaring all the guests on October 16th.
Okay.
Can't wait for that, Tim.
Yeah, I've got a cold coming on, so I may not be able to make that one.
Me too. Turn your television off. Lock the doors.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be hiding under a comforter. But it's always an exciting time when Nightfall kicks off.
Yeah, they're going to have a very long season this year, kicking it off and going all the way. You know how we talked about being open during Halloween, and they've decided that, you know, families are important to Old Tucson, and they're going to have a family Halloween on October 31st.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we talked about that, but for some reason we never did it. But
right. And do you remember on this date in 1999, we had the biggest group sales event ever at Old Tucson?
Let me guess.
500 people from.
Let me guess. Don't. You struck the deal in the Old Tucson parking lot.
I did.
They love to make computers.
That's them. It's IBM.
Yes, IBM. We probably didn't know there was that many employees, but that was the largest buyout we ever had at Old Tucson.
Yeah, it was. That was a fun day, fun night.
It was. I think I stayed home that night, and you were in charge.
I think you did.
So you're saying that we're saying that Tim is afraid of clowns and you're afraid of computer engineers? Is that what we're saying?
That just come down to
too much data. Too much data.
Data overload.
lovely people.
Oh, it was fantastic. And then we have, starting tonight, the Vamos a Tucson, Mexican baseball fiesta going on at Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Oh, man.
Run through tonight through October 5th.
Yeah, and you know what, Tim? This is their 14th year. And these are all of the teams from the Pacific Coast League. And that's their professional baseball league in Mexico. And there's been two radio shows now at Bustos Media talking about the brand new Tucson baseball team from Sonora. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
They were here with Grant yesterday, Victor Cuevas Sr. and Jr.
That's right. Yeah. And we had Victor.
Want to hear the podcast?
We had Victor Jr. and Frank Gomez here. So we had the son of the senior, obviously, and owner. I guess it's a family ownership. And they had a great, lively conversation. Our host, knew a lot about sports. It was a good interview. And we had him first, Matt. Okay, so, we broke the news. There was no competition amongst the hosts Monday through Friday, is there, Matt? don't answer that question.
Okay.
But they're all talented.
Competition.
They're all talented, especially that guy that was on yesterday. I won't mention his name. it's good for Tucson, Mexico baseball. Good for the public to. We all have different audiences. We have different things we talk about Monday through Friday and 7 to 9. And the Morning Voice has been on for, 8 months now? But we had the sister show before that. So we've been on for 18, 19 months. And we talk to community leaders, and that's exactly the two Victors that were here. And but this is where it started. Mike Fader, you may recall, was on the radio with us. And he was part of the – well, he's still the president, or he has retired, but I noticed that he did the press release on the Mexican baseball fiesta. So I guess he's not retired completely. And they're going to play – this is really the spring training of the Pacific Coast League. Teams from Hermosillo and
Navajoa?
Yeah, Mezcal, or what's the big island, or it's not an island, but it's kind of like a peninsula in Mexico. I can't remember.
Baja.
No, it wasn't Baja. But anyway, there's a lot of teams.
right, and if you like baseball and you like to party, this is the biggest, most exciting baseball event I've ever been to. And I grew up. I've always gone to Toros games and Padres games, and I grew up here with the Cleveland Indians. This is actually quite a festival, quite a fiesta.
Yeah, it's definitely for families, Tim.
Yeah.
Again, as we talked about, it was the 14th year. And there's things for kids to do, and certainly if you're right, if you've seen pictures of baseball back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, where everybody came out for the game, it's kind of a picnic time for everybody. Well, when you have the folks from Mexico, they're having a good time. You don't have to wait for the home run. They have a good time at the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, and that's why it's called the Fiesta. So what's going on? We talked about this, and it's finally going on up the mountain, Tim.
Yes. Our good friend Jay Davies is putting on her Mount Lemmon Ski Valley Oktoberfest. It's October 4th. Fun for the whole family, German beer, authentic Oktoberfest food, live music, and so much more. And what a great way to sneak out of Tucson and enjoy this asset of ours, Mount Lemmon. It's just a treasure. I've been up to the Oktoberfest many times, and it's a good time. Good food.
I hear they have German beer.
They do.
Yeah, Iron Door is the name of the restaurant, right, Matt, up there? And
yes, I believe so, yep.
Yeah, and our friends, you had talked to our friends not too long ago that had been running that outfit up there, the Sky Ski Lift, and they run the restaurant. And she has a kind of a brand-new gift shop. I think it's maybe 2 years old now, and it's open year-round. The ski lift is. They can't ski up there year-round, but
right.
you can ride the sky ride year-round. And if you have your passport, it's a buy one, get one free.
Well, there you go.
Nice.
Got to remember that, Tim. Hey, some of the other, because, you know, I think I'm going to ask you after today to always have something that is not in Tucson. And
okay.
This is right up your alley. It's Western Heritage, and it's the old cowboy from Wilcox. You remember his name?
I do not.
Rex Allen Days.
Oh, yes.
Yes, October 3rd through the 5th. And it's going to have a rodeo and parades and live music celebrating the Arizona Cowboy. And they've been doing that for as long as I can remember, Matt. I mean,
oh yeah,
20 years, 30, it's been going on a
lot. It's been going 30 years that I know of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So long I've been here, yep. So it's been, and I'm sure longer than that.
And I think, I don't know, this seems to be early, Matt, but the Southern Arizona Fall Home Show, which used to be called the Saba Home Show, has it always been the first weekend in October?
You got me there.
Yeah, it seems like it's a little bit early this year.
Hmm.
But if you're not, if you have nothing you want to do but buy things from your home or remodel your home or anything for your home, that's where you want to go, to the Southern Arizona Fall Home Show. It used to be called the Saba Home Show, and we were there for every show for about 20 years. We decided to go for the fall show this year. The spring show. This is the fall show. The spring show this year, and we had a big trade show on Tuesday with a lot of folks. Attractions were there, and we had a lot of the what we call the frontline employees, certified tourism ambassadors. So we'll be right back after our first break, and we're going to be talking about the arts and all the events that the arts folks put on here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, and now in Arizona.
Hey, Matt here. This Saturday, October 4th, join KVOI 1030 The Voice at the U of A Hispanic Heritage Tailgate starting at 8:30 a.m., believe it or not. Bear Down Field, celebrate Hispanic heritage and kick off Arizona's home portion of the Big 12 Conference play as Arizona takes on Oklahoma State at noon. 10:30, The Voice will be there at the tailgate. Bear Down Field, just north of the stadium. We'll see you there.
Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, your host. I'm here every Thursday, and Dallas Shepherd is on the phone. Good morning, Dallas.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Great. Welcome back. We've had you
Thank
on the
you.
Show at maybe twice now, I think, talking about the arts and how important it is to our community. And now you had this little party that I attended not too long ago, and you had a special announcement. But don't tell us yet. We're going to tease it a little bit because we want everybody to run to their phones and call Matt and say, what is the secret? We need to understand what's going on.
But, I love it.
But, you know, we've been there twice now in the last week or so with your special announcement and, of course, the showcase of the attractions. We were there with a fine facility, and Kevin, as always, did a great job welcoming about 75, 80 people that live and breathe the attractions here in Southern Arizona, and you did such a nice job in Catalyst. So we really appreciate your support over all the years.
Well, it was a beautiful event, Tom. I mean, you had so many amazing attractions there, and the opportunity for them to tell the story and connect with the community was very well done. So it was a pleasure for us to have to have you there in Catalyst this past week.
Well, we were so glad there. You're surrounded by art, culinary. We had people in the main room, and then we had them in the community room and the collaboration room. These were all kind of theme rooms. Even the bathrooms are themed. So by artists.
Yeah.
From all, and
by
there's,
artists, yeah.
And there's murals inside the building. And it's located in the Tucson Mall, and where the Gap used to be, 14,000 square feet of creativity. And a little plug for our member there, hold your event there. It's a wonderful place, and it's very reasonable. And they let you bring in your own caterer. You know, so that helped us out. We had Cafe 54. You know, he presented what he wanted to feed us, and, you know, because I think he's got a little bakery touch to it. But I said, you know, every single showcase we have biscuits and sausage gravy. And you know what? It was the most popular item there. And they were putting the gravy on the blueberry muffins, on the biscuits, on the scones, and it was a little spicy for me, being from the Midwest, but it was absolutely delicious. And we just added the hot food at the very last, and I'm glad we did. And the folks really got a chance to, you know, eat a small breakfast before they got to work. Now, today we're going
to
be
interesting, you know, what an interesting way to, you know, to have an event and then to be able to showcase one of, you know, just a special culinary artist in Tucson. And yeah, I mean, presenting biscuits and gravy at a, you know, at a convention setting like that. And it's just unique. And that's the kind of thing that can happen at Catalyst every day. You know, we have partners that are coming in, and they really turn that space into exactly what it is that they need for their audience. And, you know, that looks so many different, you know, we've had cookie making classes. There's a charcuterie board specialist who does classes in there. You know, I'm so blessed every day I walk out of my office, one day a week, if I have a late night and TSO is practicing, and even I got to, you know, we're all hands on deck. So I got to help Kevin with setting up the seating for the orchestra. And there was a whole, you know, it like blew my mind to know like the sort of thoughtfulness and the way that the seats were arranged. And it just every day is different in that space. And that's what I loved, especially to office out of that space and to be able to walk into someone else's sort of creative image every day and experience that is so inspiring and lovely to be a part of.
Yeah, it's not unusual when you walk by in the mall to hear music coming out of those doors because you have a lot of rehearsals that go on with various local symphony groups, which is Matt was talking to me about the 50-strong symphony. You know, some of them may have been in the Tucson Symphony over the years, but they're all accomplished musicians. So it's great when you walk around and you get to hear. There's nothing better than live music. Now, the arts, you know, the arts, I have to tell you, you know, being in the attractions area for probably 45 years or so, the arts has a very broad definition. And so, you know, I'm probably surprising you a little bit, but I know you have answered this question before. So how do you define the arts? That's question one. And why is art so important to our community?
Well, I think, you know, just to your point of the sort of the definition being broad, I would say broader. And that's because the arts are everything and a part of everything, whether it's just kind of right obviously in front of you, you're creating, you're drawing, you're making something from imagination, but even in the science world and in education, and social connection. I mean, art is really about sort of taking an idea and finding a way to showcase it to another. And that, if you think of it in that way, there's really not a part of our life or a part of sort of existence. It's not crucial to have that sort of energy and that that creativity as part of it. Without it, we're nothing. You know, I see, I can imagine a very sort of dark nothingness without the idea of the arts in place. And so, yeah, arts, I think that idea is something that we radically broaden, and it's our intention to continue to broaden it. I'd love, it's arts in everything. Arts are in everything and a part of everything, and without it, nothing.
Well, the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance was founded in the late 1990s with a simple but powerful vision to strengthen communities through the arts. How simple, yeah, could you have written a mission statement back in the 90s? Now, we're going to be back because in the next segment, we're going to reveal the big news that we've been teasing. So we'll be right back with Dallas Shepherd, and I'm your host on The Morning Voice. Well, we're back with Dallas Shepherd, the Director of Marketing and Programs for this brand new art company, and we're going to be revealing that in just a few minutes, Dallas, so stand by, because we still got a little bit of more prep to talk a little bit, because 20 years in the making, this new organization, and run by a wonderful friend of ours, and you know, we know her is big loving Kate, but what do you guys call her there in the office?
You know, Kate. Definitely Kate. But we—it's funny. She has, you know, we're all so close, and we're such a small team, and there's really a special sort of connection that we all do have, and Kate is kind of at the helm of that, and she has shared, you know, many stories and about her life and family, and she like lovingly has shared that like her family refers to her as Kate Organ, Kate Coordinate.
I knew there was a nickname there somewhere. You know, I thought it maybe it would be the 4 a.m. Kate. That's when we used to get emails from her. So.
That's definitely real, and I think she's finding some thoughtful balance.
Well, absolutely, she has two beautiful kids. They're not little anymore, but they're still, you know, they're still kids, and you know, I think she's taken on a big burden, but. One of the great things that happened at your, it was really portrayed at the event as the reintroduction, I say, of your arts magazine. Let's start with that. Tell us a little bit about the art magazine that you reintroduced, and I'm going to be watching the clock really closely because we don't want to go into the other segment without telling the folks what's going on with the other big announcement that took place that night.
Yeah. Well, so the Undercover Arts Magazine is a annual magazine that our team puts together. It is really, I mean, a special dedication to the arts in a way of storytelling, but also it's a complete registry of the artists and art opportunities in the region. And so from acrylic artists to sculptors to weavers to musicians to all of our culinary artists as well. So it really showcases just the vast amount of artists in our region. It's a great place to, if you're looking to hire an artist, whether, you know, you need a DJ for an event or you need a live artist for a special event that you're putting on, readily available contact information, works of art to review. So it's a really great place to go to. And you can pick up a copy of the magazine. Really, we're getting it out everywhere, anywhere where, you know, you can grab a free magazine. And then also you can see it online. If you go to our website, artstatearizona.org, you can go to the, it's called essentially the AZ Creative Sector Directory. And if you go to that area, you can search by categories to find what you're looking for.
I would say you have every artist in Southern Arizona and probably well beyond Southern Arizona now in what I used to call the Rolodex. Now yeah. What do we call it? Google something, I'm sure. Google directory. And it's a great resource guide. And now there was another thing that took place, and it was a while back. But so many years ago, there was a group called TPAC. And TPAC was a wonderful group that took care of the public arts around our area. And every transportation project dedicated 1% of their overall budget to public art. And this was run for many, many years by TPAC. TPAC transcended into another organization. And it wasn't too long ago that you guys got that contract, if I understand, from Pima County. Now, I think you still have it in Oro Valley. But you guys are working with the county on public art. Is that correct?
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Pima County, 1% of those funds goes to public art programming. And, you know, that's where it's so special to walk around Tucson and to spend time in the city, because there's really no area where there's not an opportunity to sort of look to a bridge, look to a park, a library, and see just the possibility, the canvas of all that is in our areas, electric boxes. I mean, art is really being created in a big way here in Tucson, and making such a big statement in regards to the showcase of beauty. And, you know, we already live in such a beautiful state. I mean, the nature in and of itself here is just so special to have the opportunity to experience daily. And then on top of that, we're so blessed to have just such a crazy amount of artists available, honestly, if you think of it, in this region who are creating and making this space beautiful. And to be a part of that for us is so special.
It is. And they're very visual. They're, you know, I did a little bit of research before the show, and Mr. AI is telling us that there are over 510 murals throughout the city and surrounding area. So the latest one, and I don't recall the artist, you may recall, the one that put the huge cactus on the Transamerica building. You can see that from the highway, and I think it's probably certainly one of the largest murals here in Southern Arizona. And you can see that wherever you are when you drive by downtown. And it was done. It was such a great
Joe Padgett.
Yes,
that's a Joe Padgett piece.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
What a special human to have in our region, and the creation. I mean, honestly, I would say that he's someone who has sparked the reality of that many murals in this region, and the desire to see that continue to grow, and the introduction of new artists into that space as well. I can think of so many other namely artists who have created such impactful mural art here in Southern Arizona, who are directly either related to, had tutelage under Joe Padgett. So it's really special to have somebody like that who's such a creator, making pieces that are undeniable and then also passing the torch along.
Well, you know, my favorite one is depicting the 100 years of La Fiesta de los Vaqueros. And, know, he's done, Ignacio Garcia has done probably 40 murals across Tucson. And that one, was revealed a little bit before last year, before the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo Parade, as well as the Tucson Rodeo. And oh my goodness gracious. I mean, don't park your car there, you know, don't hide any of this mural, you know, cause it's, literally. There's a parking lot there as well. Especially if you have a high profile car, you know, no semi trucks allowed, because it is, I think that one was done. And then long after that, we had the great one, the Saguaro, done as well. So, yeah, I mean, you've been involved in that. Now, you've been doing all of this now for since the 90s, and you decided to go statewide. What was such great news? And can you tell us, what is the new name of this organization? And we're going to get, we got one more segment after this, and we'll get a little bit into the future of this new organization. But here's the big reveal. We got a minute before we go to break. And tell us about the new organization.
Well, so yes, we are so well known and in this region under the name SACA, Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. And because our work is continuing to grow and the impact that the work that we have done in Southern Arizona has been just so well received, and it has really kind of given us a space to grow bigger and to become bolder in our movement. And because of that, we have gone statewide. We are doing programming and art advocacy work throughout the state of Arizona. And so our new name is now Art State Arizona.
Art State Arizona. You know, my dad used to say, Tom, if you ever get a chance to be an entrepreneur and you're thinking about starting your own company, it's all in the name. You need to say in the name what you do and where you are. You know what? I think you guys got an A++ on that one.
Yeah, thank you for that, Tom. Yeah, it was, it's important to us that our name really reflect what it is that we believe. And what we believe is that Arizona is and can showcase as the art state. And that's the vision that we have for our community and the vision that we have for the state and the impact that that we can make with changes and really finding space where art is really seen and dedicated in every sector of our lives.
Well, it's probably overused, but it's truly the soul of any community. And to have a world-renowned orchestra, to have a top-notch art museum, and of course we have several here in the community, including one at the Desert Museum. Lots more to talk about during our last break, and we have a great guest here that knows everything about art. Well, at least she has the magazine next to her, and we'll be right back with the Tucson, the Morning Voice there. I get confused sometimes, Matt, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about the art here in our community. This is the Morning Voice.
Hey, it's Matt Neely. This Saturday, October 4th, join KVOI 1030, The Voice, at the U of A Hispanic Heritage Tailgate, starting at 8:30 a.m., at Bear Down Field, celebrate Hispanic heritage and the kickoff of Arizona's home portion of Big 12 Conference play as Arizona takes on Oklahoma State at noon. 10:30, The Voice will be there. Again, Bear Down Field, just north of Arizona Stadium. We'll see you there Saturday morning at 8:30 starting.
Well, thank you, Matt. An appropriate song because time is tight. We had a wonderful morning talking about several of the events that are taking place. This is the time when the weather changes that the festivals come out wherever you are, and they're there. Two big sources where you can find more about the festivals is Visit Tucson. org, and this is Tucson, and of course there is a brand new website that you can find all kinds of events as well that the new organization that we just revealed. What's the name of that new organization again, Dallas?
Art State Arizona.
There we go. And you have a website, a brand new website. I noticed when you did the launch, the old website went away and the new website was revealed. So that was exciting.
Yeah, it's been such a labor of love, and just shout out to Kate Marquez and the work that she has done and the vision that she's brought forward. This was something I'm certain has been festering for her, and the desire to sort of move into this new space. It's just been done in such a beautiful, thoughtful way. With all details considered. And yeah, the website is such a beautiful sort of display of all of that work. There's great resources available. If you go to artstateaz.org, from the work that we do, the services that we provide, a great calendar list of events that we produce or collaborate on, our new magazine, The Undercover Art. There's a digital access to that directory.
Yeah, and Dallas, we have it up on the screen right now, so all the listeners and viewers in YouTube and Facebook are now seeing the cover of this wonderful new relaunch of this new magazine, because it has your new logo right on there.
Yeah. This is a magazine that has been, such a special dedication to the arts. And I'd also love to shout out one of our amazing team members named Jonathan Fram, who honestly, I think, had his hands in writing almost 50% of the stories in that magazine. And he's just such a beautiful wordsmith and has a great connection with others and has done a great job of telling their stories. That magazine went away for about 4 years, of course, during COVID time. And so this was our first year bringing the magazine back. And it's, I would say one of the most bold, impactful statements that we've made for and dedicated to the community here in Arizona.
Now, you guys do a lot of festivals, and you're the expert in festivals. A lot of those are cultural festivals, or I guess most of them are cultural festivals. And my two favorite festivals are ones at the Tucson Botanical Garden. What time of the year is that again? Savoy. A wine, savor. It's a wine and a savor, and it's a wine and it's a food festival, and you get a chance to walk all around the Tucson Botanical Gardens, and it helps a little bit of a fundraiser for you and for Tucson Botanical Garden. And then you got a big one called Devour, right, up in the Phoenix area. Where is that one normally held?
That's held at the Desert Botanical Gardens in Phoenix. Oh,
you love your botanical gardens. That's great. That's fantastic.
It's beautiful to do culinary events in that.
Yeah, those places
because it's not what you're used to. Right. It really kind of breaks up the monotony of kind of walking from booth to booth in a ballroom setting.
So we have to go. We want to thank you for talking all about the brand new arts. I think people are saying ASA, aren't they? But we really want to thank you for coming today.
I heard that from somebody.
I don't know who it was, but we thank you for sharing all of the wonderful news with us, and appreciate you being on the air as always. And there'll be a next time, and it won't be too long from now. All right. See you all later. Have a good day, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back. And hey, Matt, let's ask Buck if he's going to be around to give us a call in, because we never got to him. Was that Buck last year, last Thursday, the gentleman that called in, and we never got back with him?
Oh, that would be Bunker. Bunker, if you're out there, I don't even want to talk about something over at Denby Ranch, I'm guessing. But yeah, Bunker, if you're listening, give a call.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sorry we didn't get a chance to get you into the show, but we'll definitely get you into this show today. This is an hour. We're going to talk a little bit about what goes on with the festivals behind the scenes, and where do they find all their information from, you know, because when you put on a festival, it's just not one day you realize, oh, let's do a festival. You know, there's so many aspects in festivals, and we're blessed with an organization that's been around for a while, and it's a partner organization of ours, but it's independently run. It's a 501c6. It's called the Southern Arizona, believe it or not. It has the word events and festivals in it, and we call it FEATS, A-Z, as short. Or TucsonFestivals.org. You know, it's a great organization. And the difference is between the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and FEATS AZ is they help people learn how to run festivals more efficiently, how to make more money, how to, you know, we help them on the marketing a little bit, but they certainly are well-versed in all of the things that you have to do in order to have a successful festival. And if you look at Visit Widget on our website, explorearizonaattractions.com, their little widget pops up. Pop on that, and you can see about all the events that are going on. But we take a little bit of different feel than Visit Tucson does. All the major events, all the annual events, all the folks that have been coming for many, many years, such as Tucson Meet Yourself or the Folk Life Festival, those kinds of festivals. But they have certainly a lot more that goes on. And we take it down to the next level when if there's a little art show going on in a shopping area, we want to let people know about those, because those artists that are in those mall kind of looking or strip malls kind of are actually, they have some very good artists that are also in there showing their wares and selling their paintings or their pottery or their baskets or their jewelry or whatever they're selling. So that's what Visit Widget does on our website, brought to you by Tucson Media Partners. So Timmy, welcome and back to the 8 o'clock hour. Okay.
Do you remember you and I attended a FEATS Arizona conference, and somehow or another we got giant boxing gloves on, and there was a photo that went viral of me punching you in the head.
Yes, they often do an annual educational meeting, and I think it was at Casino del Sol where I'm headed for after this to the Southern Arizona Chamber is having a B2B show. And yeah, that's right. And they also over the years have had some other events, educational events going on that are actually trained by the folks who are going to talk about the IFEA, International Festival and Events Association. It's the international association that people belong to learn more about how they do parades, just about any kind of festival. And we have a couple of things that happened recently at the convention that just took place in Palm Springs. And we had several folks. We had Stan Martin was there from he's the chair of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. And there was also TJ from El Tour. that was there. And there was another lovely lady that got an award, Dawn Vandeveer. So we'll be talking about that in just a few.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But let's get to your favorite festivals.
Well, Arizona Theater Company is doing their production of Deceived. It's already started, and it runs through October 18th at the Temple of Music and Art. What a great way to get out and enjoy some culture. And then tonight is the 33rd anniversary of Nightfall. Kicks off at Old Tucson. Fear is Fun is the theme, and the theme is clowns are on the loose. Beware. You know I love clowns.
Yes.
And they're going to run straight through October 31st.
Yep.
So
first time they've been open for Halloween, and I bet you in any of the other 32 I don't think they've been open for the night for Halloween. They kind of left that up to the neighborhoods, but they decided to do because of the time of the year and some family activity. So that's good news.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, except for the clowns.
They'll be there just for you, Tim. They're waiting for you.
Catching a theme here.
I'm not going to make it. But
no, we're going to pick you up. Don't worry about it. We'll get you there.
All right. Well, I think my wheelchair will fit in your Ford Flex.
I think it will as well. So there's also the return of something else that's going on.
Well, Vamos a Tucson, which is a division of Visit Tucson.
Yes.
The Mexican Baseball Fiesta is going on starting today through October 5th at Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorite events, Mount Lemmon Ski Valley, is doing their Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that's on Saturday.
Yeah, October 4th.
That's right. And I love to do that. Yeah. I mean, of course, the whole world is going to be doing that if you're not joining the baseball group. So they've never run out of beer, I understand.
Yeah, no, I enjoy German beer, which I know will attract you.
Well, I can't with the broken shoulder that is healing. I'm going to have to switch to the other hand because I can't pick up any more than 5 pounds. So I don't know what a 32-ounce beer mug of German beer weighs. Matt, do you know that?
I don't know, but it's probably less than 5 pounds. Well, I think that's a safe bet.
I think you're going to be fine.
It's hard to pick it up and tip. That's the problem. I miss my mouth because the shoulder doesn't work like.
But there's always a straw, I guess.
No. I get the foam gets in the way.
We'll get you a lightweight Stein.
I tell you what, we're going to get Dabney the Clown chasing you, and then you'll be so scared you'll have superhuman strength.
Yes.
There we go.
So that's great.
Live
a great
music.
Event. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun up there.
Yeah, and of course the Sky Ride will be open and over there that goes to the top of Mount Lemmon and beautiful views. On the way up and on the way back, and a great restaurant up there, the Iron Door, and a great gift shop right there by the ski ride. And
great chili and cornbread.
The chili cornbread or something else. You can buy a loaf and bring it home with you too. So I used to do that with fudge, but now I do it with cornbread, especially when you're up at Mount Lemmon. Well, you know, Tim, do we have somebody on the phone? Or
Not yet. I did want to add, you'd asked about the teams that are going to be there at the Mexican Baseball Fiesta.
Yes. Okay.
The Jaguares de Nayarit. Tucson baseball team's going to be there.
Yeah, they're going to play.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Game.
First time we get to see them.
And that's their spring training, yes.
And there's the Algodoneros de Guasave, the Aguilas de Mexicali, Navaneros de Hermosillo, the Arizona Wildcats will be there, the Yaquis de Obregón, And we said the Jaguares de Nayarit. I'm sure I butchered that name, but those are the teams. Obregon. That's the
Obregon. Yes, I don't roll my R's either, Matt. So
there's only one, so you don't have to roll it. You got to roll.
And the Tucson baseball team, there's no R's in that. So
not yet, unless they call themselves the Toros.
Well,
which I know Grant Kruger is really pushing for.
He's lobbying
hard for that one.
Jay Zucker needs the money. Come on, Jay. sell the Toros. If the Mexican team would like to use that name.
I think the Morning Voice could sponsor the team, and it could be the Tucson Voice.
It could be. Yeah. I still have my hat. Yeah, I think
I can sponsor them.
Yeah, can you? Okay, all right. I know you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
That would be fantastic.
You got all sorts of ideas.
Yeah, and, the Tucson team plays October, November, and December because they're going to call this their home. And we all have websites, of course, just put in Tucson team. It's a .net, so it's a little bit different, than some of the websites out there with .org, .com. But, all of this stuff is available. And again, the preview, as Matt indicated, you get to meet your team, your Tucson team. And these are Major League Baseball players. Right. I mean, these are the top notch in training, being watched very closely by every Major League Baseball. And there are Major League Baseball players that play in their Winter League as well. It's kind of like they play, during the season, and if they don't make it into October very far with the playoffs for the World Series, then they just drive up a little bit down to Mexico, I should say, and they get to play baseball almost year round. And that's why you'll see a lot of Major League Baseball players that are on these teams, what they call the Pacific Winter League.
And guys, just think about how nice the evenings are this time of year. I mean, you're not going to be sitting out at 105 degrees at 7 p.m. Watching a baseball game. It's going to be in the 80s. Maybe in the 70s as the season goes on. This is going to be a big deal. So it's really nice being able to sit out in the comfort of a cool evening, not cold, but a nice cool evening, and watch some baseball.
And Tim, we'll make sure we tell you when the Clowns are going to be there, because I know you want to meet
No Clowns, please.
Well, Tucson will probably sponsor.
I'm on Team Tim Bimberstedt on this one.
They'll probably sponsor
clowns
one of the nights.
Disturbing.
Absolutely. I don't think the Clown Alley at the front gate is going to be wheelchair accessible, Tim, so I think you're safe.
It's funny, the old owner of Rawhide, when I moved up to Scottsdale, we had an event called Clown Day, and we had the largest parade of clowns, and he always made me be MOD, manager on duty, during Clown Day.
Well, he was a dear friend of yours, I know that, and he owned a gas station as well, so he was sniffing a little bit too much gas.
He owned every giant gas station.
Timmy, we're going to be back and talk a little bit more about the International Festival and Events Association. And there were two wonderful ceremonies that took place honoring a couple of our festivals here in town. So stand by. We'll be talking about that. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. See you in a few minutes. Well, we're back. I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and this is The Morning Voice. Every single weekday, there's a brand new host that will come and, fill your radio full of wonderful information, and you'll learn more about community leaders tomorrow. Dr. Ackerley, our boss, will be here at 7 o'clock. And, Matt, did you get the list of who's going to be here?
Yeah, he's going to be speaking with actor Steve Anderson and catching up with Hughes Federal Credit Union. Also, students from his U of A Applied Marketing course, they're going to be talking about their project. They adopt a business or a nonprofit. Not adopt, but the students go and do a business study and give them advice. So it'll be good to hear what their report is, the organization that they're helping out this time, and we'll be able to hear all about that.
Yeah, Dr. Ackley is a professor over there at the U of A in marketing at the Eller School. So he runs an advertising agency, I think is it was his dad that started the agency. And they had McDonald's was one of the big clients here, the locally owned McDonald's here. I can't remember the name of the family, but he was very involved. With McDonald's was known as what they call a retail client. What that means is drop everything you're doing because we're the most important client.
Okay.
And when you have McDonald's as a client, they are the most important. The grocery stores, if you have a Fry's account, that's another one of those retail accounts that whatever they have on sale, whether meat or corn or whatever it may be, you drop whatever you're doing and make sure you get that corn ad out there. So a little bit of advertising and trivia. Now, if you have a favorite festival you want to talk about, I mean, we know coming the following week is Tucson Meet Yourself, which has been redone, the Southwest kind of folk festival. There is a folk life festival, but they are marketing themselves as a folk festival as well. So down to earth entertainment, great food from all over the world. And they made some changes. So we'll talk a little bit about those changes next Thursday. But that'll be going on. We'll also be talking about the Rotary, the downtown Rotary in the famous Classic Car Show.
Yes, the Tucson Classics Car Show.
They're, Matt, going to take over the entire 2 hours.
Fantastic.
And they have, I think, three or four people that are going to be here. And we're going to learn about the 100th, I think it's the maybe the 102nd, maybe third, I'm not sure, that the downtown Rotary has been contributing to the community. So they were right up there with the 100th year of the rodeo parade and the rodeo. I mean, this was quite the town, because the Rotary folks are all about caring for the community. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday in a meeting, and they have been helping, I believe it's the 19th year, the car show, and they've been helping three charities for every year. And one of them gets to be the big winner in the sense they get the most amount of money. And I don't know if you know anything about this, Matt or Tim, but I asked this question to these three folks that very knowledgeable, been in Rotary for decades. And I said, so who do you think, if there is one that really was really a big donor in the sense of where you can actually physically see what was done. And you know what it was? JTED. That huge building, where they now have K through 12.
Sure.
The Tucson Classic Car Show, courtesy of the Rotary Club of downtown, over a span of time, $750,000 were donated to JTED to build that brand new school, K through 12, and a combined shop, auto shop and electric shop,
congratulations,
and all kinds of shop, and then they mixed it with the reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's, and people are now going to that school K through 12 and they're learning trades and to go out and get a job after their 12th grade. So it's a great school, and the Rotary was a big contributor to that. And we'll hear about that. We'll hear about all the other charities. Yeah. Pima Community College has been a huge benefactor of the Classic Car Show. We're gonna hear about what kind of cars they have. Okay, and certainly it's October 18th, so we're not teasing the date. That's a Saturday at the Gregory School.
Yeah. Lydia, what's their appetite on this? Just a little, give them a little teaser on Monday. You're going to be going in depth with them on the car show next week, right?
On Thursday,
the 9th, and then And then Lydia's going to be talking about some of the nonprofit aspects on that on the 13th. So we got the car show covered. And
that's
from
right.
The, from you, the cars, the food, the events, the fun of it, and the serious
you,
part of what they're
you
helping.
And Lydia helped put that together. Yeah. That was wonderful. So they're going to get a preview.
You bet.
And she's going to have some on the radio with her, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. And
it's a great event.
Yeah, you used to have a display booth there every year, didn't you, Tim, from the Desert Museum?
I did, yeah. We had an employee who helped us. She restored a classic Studebaker, Mary Powell McConnell, and she was in the Studebaker Club, and she recreated the Desert Ark, which was the Hal Gross vehicle that he took to schools and
at the museum
special events.
Yeah. Well, they
it's still, out front there.
They still have it parked
sure.
out front,
right, Tim?
Now, was that the original or that was the one they redid?
Yeah, that's the one they restored to look like. Buck O'Reilly used to donate a station wagon every couple of years to help support the Desert Ark, but it was fun. It was a great time.
Well,
and I was your guest, Tom, for several years, me and my father.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And their little VIP club thing that was going on, and I didn't get a chance to go to that the last 3 years. They got me working the buses, so... free parking, and somebody's got to ride the bus and tell them, you know, to behave in the bus, and that's me. So it's somebody had to do it.
Keep your hands inside the ride.
Tough job. Yeah. And I was probably
the guy you had to tell to behave.
Yes. And if you didn't have your ticket yet, I'd be happy to sell it to you right now. So there's no waiting. You can go right in. Believe it or not, it was COVID that allowed us to reach out and sell more tickets online. We were not doing that. We were selling them at all the festivals and so on, and now we're selling them online.
And
there's still plenty of tickets left, and it's $10, and you get a chance to win a brand new. I mean, Tim, this is a brand new Corvette, and
I have enough Corvettes.
This one is brand new with the engine in the middle.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back, and we're going to talk finally about the International Festival, an event where two, not one, but two organizations won special awards at the 70th annual convention.
Hey, it's Matt Neely here. This Saturday, October 4th, join KVOI 1030 The Voice at the U of A Hispanic Heritage Tailgate. Starting at 8:30 a.m. at Bear Down Field. That's just adjacent on the north side of the Arizona Stadium. Celebrate Hispanic heritage and kick off Arizona's home portion of Big 12 Conference play as Arizona takes on Oklahoma State at noon. 10:30, The Voice will be there at the pregame, Bear Down Field. Starting at 8:30, we'll see you there.
All right, we got a special guest is calling us, and we're so happy that Stan Martin, who is the chair of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. Good morning, Stan.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, thank you so much. This is, we got into this big conversation, Stan, this morning with the new Saka folks, you know, that's called ART, and it's called State in Arizona. And we were talking about the International Festival and Event Association, and you just came from there. And I thought, and thank you so much for calling in, because there were two wonderful, prizes, awards that were given out to Tucsonians. But we got like 10 minutes, and I was wondering if you could just kind of give us a brief overview why you go there and kind of the things you learn, and then let's kind of end the conversation with the exciting news about the two folks that went home with an award.
Okay, sure. Yes, the Tucson Rodeo Parade Committee got involved with the International Festivals and Events Association, which is a worldwide organization that's actually based out of Boise, Idaho. And it started with, they had a convention here in Tucson and wanted some Old West ambiance for all these people that come in from outside of the United States. And it was up at JW Marriott. And so we supplied about 5 wagons of various sizes. And they ended up returning because everybody wanted to come back to see the West again from the other countries. And it ended up being here in Tucson for 3 years. It's never been at any location more than once. So we were kind of lucky to have it here in our backyard 3 years in a row.
They fell in love with Tucson, didn't they, Stan? I mean, absolutely.
They did.
Go ahead, sir.
So you've got people that are from the Olympics. You've got people from the NFL. You've got people from the Brazil Carnival, which is the Mardi Gras group, the South Korean Lantern Festivals, all over the world. They come to this conference. And this year it was in Palm Springs. I figured it was close enough to Tucson that I could drive over and attend. And it's a 3-day conference, and there's keynote speakers, but there's also outstanding workshops dealing with safety, which was my main concern going over there, how to improve parade safety. And the good thing is that we found out that Tucson Rodeo Parade is hitting 95% of the bullet marks, and there's one or two that we just need to tweak to be 100% compliable, and which is better than a lot of them. So we're in there with the Tournament of Roses Parade, the Macy's Parade, and all these large parades from around the United States also. And so anyways, it was a great conference, and you know, got to really network with people from other countries too. And that's really cool. Not only, you know, people from the United States, but getting perspectives of what happens in other countries and horse technology going, and it's kind of like blowing us away as far as the United States, unfortunately. You know, you've got AI floats in parades that will scan the audience and play music that's appropriate to that age group that's in that audience. And we're going, oh my gosh.
It's gonna but you're still gonna be the largest non-motorized parade. You know, don't change your traditions at all, Stan.
We're not. We're sticking with that. Yes. So,
now there were a couple of folks that got honored, I understand.
Yes, TJ from El Tour de Tucson, who's the executive director of El Tour de Tucson, they submitted a poster. They've got what they call the Pinnacle Awards, and there's everything from the best, what you might say, keychain and pin to the best TV commercial, promotional thing. So the El Tour de Tucson submitted a poster that was designed here in Tucson, and for the best promotional poster in the world, and they actually took the gold medal in that, and which was really cool.
That was Joe Pagic, I think, or PAGAC.
I wish we
didn't get a chance to put it up on the screen. I don't know where you can, Matt, I don't know how quick you are if you can find that, but I got it right here. But it's it really. It's just absolutely amazing.
The rodeo mural?
Yeah.
It's stunning. It's not the mural.
L Tour. This is their promotional poster.
This is the L Tour commemorative poster for 2025.
Let me see if I can find it. Hang on.
Yeah, by Joe. And he got the gold award. That is super. Right. And then there was Don Vandeveer, you know, kind of not the farthest thing away from AI. At her festival,
right.
And it was put on by the Humane Society, and do you remember the name of that?
Well, actually, she presented, she and I can't remember his name, it's just, I have a brain zap right now, the gentleman who runs a PAC over here at the Puma Animal Care Center.
Right.
They both presented on doing like dog festivals, like Dogtober or whatever you want to call it.
They call it the Dogtoberfest.
Yeah, Dogtoberfest, yeah. So
why would you remember that name?
I'm not sure if they have doggy beer for the Dogtoberfest served with German Shepherds and Dachshunds. But anyways, enough of my bad humor. But anyways, she actually went over, the two of them went over and they presented at the event, talking about, dog festivals, you might say, dog-friendly festivals and things like that. And so they didn't really get an award. They just presented, which was it's an honor to do that. I did it for the Tucson Rodeo Parade Committee back before COVID, when it was here in Tucson, on a app that we tried using for a couple of years. And so it's just, takes a lot to get submitted to do that.
Well, know, so. I mean, the gold award was is huge, and while there wasn't an she was honored. That was the most important thing for its creativity, community driven approach to pet adoption and celebration. And of course, in that event that we did yesterday over at the Catalyst, she asked the question of our five speakers about are you guys what are you thinking about making your attractions dog friendly? And it's kind of a mixed bag, you know. The hotels here in our community, a lot of them are dog friendly, and I think the more you travel down the road, are dog friendly. But you know, she's really got a passion for helping our attractions become dog friendly. So keep up the good work, Dawn, if you're listening. So now you go there for the educational, the learning, and of course the networking that you're doing with all these large festivals.
Right, and you know, you've got balloon companies for like Macy's Day. They also have the smaller balloons up there on these little like a push cart, like you'd see in one of these big box hardware stores they're battery operated, but they inflate with what they call cold air inflatables instead of using helium. Found out that helium is getting more and more scarce, and the price of it's going, you know, through the ceiling right now. There's everything. Insurance companies. There's drone. One of the companies put on one of the evening events that we had, and which was pretty amazing. So you've got all of these representatives that do parades and events all over the place. And it's not just parades. It's I'm talking about, you know, like I said, the NFL is there, the NCAA is there, you know, for the Final Four and for the Super Bowl. And then, you know, all these different events, they're there to learn. And the great thing about this is, a lot like the festivals and events in Southern Arizona and also Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, is that nobody feels like they're better than anybody else. And we're all there to help each other. And this one poor gal from in Omaha, she's in a little landlocked community. She goes, "I just got appointed by the city manager's office to take over parades, and I don't know what I'm doing. Can anybody help me here?" And the sort of moderator of that session says, "Well, you came to the right place, and we'll ease you into it." You know, so you know. But
you and I were at that conference. It was over there at the JW Marriott, wasn't it, if I recall correctly?
Correct. Yes.
And Russell, remember Russ? Russ, the general manager, and actually sponsored evening function. And Russell Bond, and being there for 3 years, that was something else. And one of the things that, because of our hospitality, Tucson was officially named an IFEA World Festival and Event City. How many towns have been received that honor? And of course, I mean, we've had festivals that have been going on for literally decades, here. Tucson, certainly Tucson Meet Yourself. Our golf tournaments have been going on here for many, many years. Unfortunately, the tennis festival, Tim, went away with Michael Landon when he passed away. It didn't really last too much longer after he passed away.
The soccer shootout and things like that.
The Fort Lowe. Is it still Fort Lowe? Soccer shootout, and it's at Keno now. During the Tucson City of Gastronomy event that just took place, the Maize Festival, the gentleman that ran the Nortino Festival, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
That type of music. Norteño, I got to say it right. Norteño Festival. He said he's talking to the mayor, and there's a good chance it's going to come back.
That
was a great musical festival. And they, of course,
well,
they mixed.
Let's look at the Visit Tucson calendar. You know, you try to schedule an event in Tucson or Southern Arizona, basically, from, you know, the 1st of October to the 1st of April. Every weekend and every week is tied up, you know, with multiple events. You know, there's constantly something going on in Tucson, which is really, really, you know, puts us on the map, you know.
Well, we are looking
for. The weather is perfect.
We are looking forward to the 101st Rodeo Parade. What is the date in February?
It's going to be February 26th. It's a Thursday. And pre-parade entertainment starts at 8 a.m. at the grandstands. I believe the grandstand tickets are supposed to go on sale, depending upon our if it's up or not. We're trying to get the website up right now, updated. So it's supposed to, everything's supposed to go on line today, but I'm not sure if it's going to be there yet for, you know, volunteers.
But pretty soon.
We need volunteers, you know. And, you know, so go to our website if you would like to volunteer for that event or even volunteer for our museum. There's also entries for the parade, I believe, start today. And then also, it's just all the information will be there. It'll be the same route as the last 2 years.
Great.
And the parade starts at 9 a.m. officially.
Well, thank you so much, Stan, for the last-minute request to be on the air. And we learned a little bit about the International Festival and Event Association, that we have been big part of it since we had it here 3 years in a row, and we're very proud of all of our festivals, and obviously to be honored by an international association in this kind of brings it home for all of us. Stan, thank you again for joining us today on The Morning Voice, and we look forward to the 101st parade coming up in February. What was the date again?
And 26th.
February 26th. And we'll be there. The Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance has their wagon, and they're ready to go. All right. Thanks again, Stan. Have a good day.
All right. You betcha. Take care. Have a good one. Right. Bye-bye.
Beautiful song, Matt. What was the name of that song?
Arizona Sky, China Crisis.
Oh, we love our skies, don't we, here? Turn those Catalina Mountains kind of a bright rust color. As a matter of fact, sort of release, but we coming, I think, Monday, our big release of the new cover of the Tucson and Arizona Attractions Passport is featuring Tona Chule.
Hey!
Yeah, and our friends Jamie over there, she's been on air here a couple of times, and we worked with the photo that we took, and there's just a little bit of the Catalina Mountains peeking through, so we had to trim the bushes a little bit through AI, and because we wanted that mountain to peak up just a little bit more. About 10 feet more, because when you walk around the Tona Chule Botanical Gardens, and there's so much more than that, but you have a view in many, many places, not only of their gardens, but also of the Catalina Mountains as well. So, and living in Oro Valley, I walk out the front door every day and see the beautiful Catalina Mountains. And boy, you can see the Catalina Mountains for a long time when you're traveling, when you're traveling east-west, you know, you just look to your right or left, whatever direction you're going. Well, we had a whirlwind show, Stan was able to join us, which was great because he just came back, and we're talking about, I mean, it seems like the festivals kind of dominate the news here because it's fall and the spring. And then the rest of the time, the attractions are open 365 days out of the year. Next week, we decided that because so much of the funding of our local charities have been part of the classic car show at the Gregory School, which is going on October 18th. So we're going to have a show on Monday, which is great, to talk about some of the charities that have been benefactors. You know, when the Rotary after or during COVID, took it up to $10. It's still a great deal because you get a chance to win a brand new Corvette, as well as many other prizes from Tucson Appliance and just many kinds of other things to do. So we want to thank all the people that were on today. And we will be back next Thursday again with the Downtown Tucson Rotary and talk about the Classic Car Show. Thanks for listening in and catch you next week.